pretty much we have these 10 gates, the sheep gate, the fish gate, the old gate, the valley gate, the dung or the refuse gate, the fountain gate, the water gate, the horse gate, the east gate, the inspection gate. And then we have the temple. Then over here is a spring that flows down all the way through into, we call it today, the Pool of Siloam. And as a matter of fact, just 6 years ago, they, on accident, while trying to repair a water line, they hit the Pool of Siloam. And now it is being, archaeologists are now digging out the Pool of Siloam and the steps that lead all the way up to the temple. It's pretty cool to see. And they've got the UCLA Architectural Arts Department to put a visual. And I don't know why I could show you. I'll show you that in the weeks to come. They put UCLA, they told the UCLA Arts and Architectural Department, if they would now, to visualize the steps going up from, we're going to call it today because we believe it's one and the same, the King's Pool that lead all the way up to the temple. And it's rather fascinating. So if you get a chance this week online, maybe you want to go look at it yourself, see those things. Now, Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 11 is where I'm going to start. I'm going to backtrack again. I know we read some of these scriptures last week, but I want us to backtrack just a little bit today. And again, I want to lay down some foundations today that I wish that when I was a child, I would have learned. I wish when I was growing up in church, some of these truths would have been taught to me. And it wasn't until I became an adult and actually got into the ministry and then sat under the teachings of the likes of Robert Morris that my eyes and heart were open to some truths. I'm like, wow. That's incredible. But now that I know it, I'm able to pass it on, and I'm able to teach it. Not as good as Robert can, but I certainly can share the things that have excited my heart. So verse 11 says, and this is Nehemiah talking, "So I came to Jerusalem, and I was there for 3 days. There is something about the number 3 in the Bible. There's something about the number 3 in the Bible that we need to catch. And that's why I'm so excited today, because I've always was taught about salvation, and I was always taught about water baptism, and I was always taught about baptism in the Holy Spirit. But no one ever taught me about baptism into salvation, baptism into the body of Christ, because that makes 3 baptisms. See, and this number 3, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, it's there all through the Bible, affirming His deity and His who God is, his greatness and His fullness. Father, Son, and I'm going to say the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit's not bad. There are many churches today that the Holy Spirit is, don't want to get involved. Don't want to get involved with the Holy Spirit too much. Danger, danger, Will Robinson. It's true. It's heartbreaking because we're going to read some scriptures again today. Even Jesus is going to address it. Jesus knew that this, the Holy Spirit, was going to be a problem with people's theology. So He's going to take some time out of His teaching to lay down how important it is to ask for the Holy Spirit. To ask for it. Jesus comes out. Will you ask for the Holy Spirit? Wow. And yet today, there are those, there are denominations, there are folks who says, whatever you do, don't ask for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Don't ask for it. It's of the devil. And yet Jesus' very words are, man, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I'm just so excited about this. It's so true. Now, everyone say Nehemiah. He's not the shortest man in the Bible, as I said last week. He's not Nehemiah. He's Nehemiah. Thank you, John. You can laugh at my lame jokes. But you know who Nehemiah is? What his name means? Because Nehemiah is a type and a shadow of the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah's name means literally Jehovah comforts. Jehovah comforts. And who did Jesus say when he goes, he's going to send us? The Comforter. Yeah, he's going to send us the Comforter. And Nehemiah's name literally means Jehovah comforts. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuge gate and viewed the walls of Jerusalem. He went out by night. Nobody knew what was going on. Nobody realized the work that was going on. Nobody understood the vision that Nehemiah had for these walls. Think about this. When it seems like nothing is going on in your life, when it seems like it's pitch black and everything is dark and there is nothing happening, can I encourage you this morning? The Holy Spirit is doing something. The Holy Spirit is working when you don't even realize He's working. And Nehemiah is doing the very same thing. He's out there working. He's out there plotting. He's out there making plans to restore and to rebuild. And no one else knows what's going on. And the Holy Spirit's the same way working in our lives. When we don't realize it, He is steady at work. He is steady doing what needs to be done. Amen? And he went out through the valley gate to the serpent wall. Look at these four places he's going to visit before he actually gets to chapter 3 and verse 1 when we deal with the sheep gate, which we'll talk a little bit about today. But notice the four places, and if you don't mind underlining or highlighting in your Bible, notice he's going to go to, everyone say, the serpent well. The refuse gate, and then the fountain gate, and then the king's pools. Now, you can ask any good Jew about the first place that he visits, the serpent well. And I know Pastor Robert has a Messianic priest on staff, because their first service there, they literally, when they say to the Jew first, the first service of every month at Gateway Church is a Messianic Jew service. Every month, without fail, the first service. And the first check they write every month is to a Jewish support or Jewish outreach. But you can ask any good Jew, like Pastor Robert asked his pastor about the serpent well, and the answer is, it's in the Bible, in Nehemiah, because it's never mentioned again. It's never, we don't see it before, and we never hear of it after. So we can just take our own liberty, I guess, this morning on what the serpent well was. But bottom line, maybe it was shaped in a serpentine shape, or maybe the mouth of the well looks something serpentine. We don't know. So why don't we just take it this morning? There's an old story, and again, there's no truth to it, that at one point in time, a snake came out of the well, and they took a rock, and it crushed his head. That'll work for me. So he went to the serpent well. But now he's going to go to three more places that represent, again, the three baptisms that we have as believers. Again, as we're talking about the natural rebuilding of the gates and the walls of Jerusalem, we're now applying these spiritually to our own life. Everyone say the refuse gate. This is our first baptism, and again, we know that this is the baptism of salvation. The refuse gate, where you take your garbage and all your trash and you leave it outside and you come back in clean. Amen? All your garbage, all your junk, you take it outside, it's burned, and you leave it behind, and you come back inside and you don't have any more trash and no more garbage. Aren't you glad that the Lord looked upon us and said, you know what? I'm going to take that filthy, dirty heart of yours. I'm going to wash it clean and white as snow. Amen? Amen? And no more guilt, no more shame, no more condemnation, because you have been made clean by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? We've read this scripture many times, but I'll read it one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit, everyone say Spirit, the Holy Spirit's going to do the baptizing. We are all baptized into one body. Amen? All baptized, whether Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free, we've all been made to do what? To drink. To drink. Everyone say to drink. Listen, Paul says, don't get drunk with wine. Don't get filled up with that type of drink. But rather, you need to drink some of the new wine. You need to have some of that new wine that the parables talked about when it talks about the skins, and that you don't put new wine in old bottles unless the skin will break and then you lose it all. New wine. And here we see in 1 Corinthians, we've all been made to drink into one spirit. A spiritual inebriation, if you will. Drunk in the Holy Spirit. That's okay to allow the Holy Spirit just to come. It should be one of the most exciting things in our lives. When we make that decision to give our lives to Jesus and to see the newness of life, because that's what the next gate represents. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay, so we've got this, the refuse gate that represents taking our stuff out. Now let's back up for a second, and let's go to actual chapter 3, verse 1. And he talks about the sheep gate. Everyone say the sheep gate. This is where we all were, amen, according to Isaiah. I read the scripture, quoted it last week. Isaiah chapter 53 says, because all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity, the sins of us all. What a weighty chapter, chapter 53 is, when it talks about all the wonderful things that Jesus is going to take and become because of us, because of our shortcomings, because of our sin, because of our sickness. Jesus is going to become all those things to us. The sheep gate is going to represent where our starting place is. And oh, by the way, it's interesting that in Nehemiah chapter 3, he begins with the sheep gate and he comes full back around and he ends with the sheep gate. Because it's all about sheep. Hello? It's all about sheep. It's not about programs. It's not about these things that we can get very tied up into that are good things. But if it's not doing something for the sheep, if it's not helping us find the lost sheep, if it's not helping us feed the sheep, then we don't need to be doing them. Everything that we do here at Living Waters should be sheep-oriented. Amen? Now, can they be fun things? Can they be great things? When we bring a slide out here for the kids to play on, what are we doing? We're instilling in their hearts. Listen, church is about worship and loving God. But church is about being with other sheep and having fun. And if church is not fun, why do you want to come? Who wants to come to a dead, boring, dull, uninteresting church? Not me. I don't want that. And I don't expect anyone else to want to come to a dead, dull, boring church that doesn't have the life of God in it. Amen? Jesus went so far to say this about the sheep gate and about sheep. He said, most assuredly, I say to you that he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up by some other way, is the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And then Jesus goes on to say, and I am the door. I'm the great shepherd, and I am the door. Now, I don't know this about all the gates of Jerusalem, but the sheep gate had towers by it to help control who came in and out of it. But it was also the only gate that, best I can understand, was the only gate on it that did not have locks. The sheep gate did not have locks on it. That's exciting. For whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's exciting to me. And again, so many people think that somehow they can be this lone sheep and do their own thing in the kingdom, and that they're they're the Lone Ranger for Jesus. But how many of you know when you're the Lone Ranger and you're not with his flock and you're not under a shepherd, you're just easy pickings for the enemy. Amen? You're just easy pickings to be knocked off because let me tell you what, the shepherd, when you understand what it means that when we come to that refuge gate and we throw it all and we say, I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. That means I'm taking everything I have and I'm laying at the shepherd's feet and say, shepherd of my soul, like we sang this morning, like a heart of a father. That's what it is, the shepherd is. And the shepherd then is going to take the sheep that come in and he's going to nurture the sheep. He's going to feed the sheep. Psalms 23, the sheep psalm. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Wow. We just stop right there. He didn't have to go any farther. When the Lord is our shepherd, I have no needs. I shall not want. I shall not lack. The next gate that he's going to come to, or the next place he's going to come to, the fountain gate. Everyone say the fountain gate. The fountain gate. How many of you know this? What baptism this represents? Our water baptism. Amen? Romans chapter 6. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism in the death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk with newness of life. Everyone say newness of life. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly, we also should be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, know this, church, that our old man was crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And that old watery grave represents the way we were before, and our old man, and we say we dunk you down, some of us longer than others. Tell you what, as I watched the Bible, and we did this Wednesday night, we finished part of our Bible series going through the Bible DVD series that came on the History Channel. As Peter's sitting there dunking Cornelius and his family, I mean, it just moved me more than any other scene in the whole show. I don't know why. But it was just to see the smile on their faces and to see them plunge into that water. And I love the fact that they went face first. You know? Because everything we're going to see in a moment, everything else the Gentiles did, because they're Gentiles and didn't know any better, they didn't know you're not supposed to receive the Holy Spirit until after you're baptized. They didn't get it. They missed it. They forgot. They didn't hear Peter say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. No, they just got the Holy Spirit first. They didn't wait for water baptism. They just got it because they're Gentiles. They didn't know any better. And that's what I thought. That's kind of cool. They went face first. They didn't know any better. Just dunk them face first. We always go backwards for some reason. But buried in baptism to be raised to walk how? In newness of life. And I've mentioned this before. The New Testament saints would wear these white robes around for a week to let everyone know I am now part of the way. And my life is different. The way I was before. Now, I love what Galatians says. Because this, and again, I don't think we can ever overstress any of these three baptisms. We can never overstress salvation. We can never overstress the baptism of water baptism. We can't overstress the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But notice how Galatians is going to put it for us. For as many as have been baptized where? Into Christ, have put on Christ. They put on the nature of Christ. Is there any wonder why people who give their heart to the Lord but they don't follow up in this next step of baptism, might struggle with walking with Him. They haven't totally, fully put on Christ. And again, that word baptismo is the Greek word. It means to totally immerse, to totally go under. Not just sprinkle or get a little bit of that of it. No, we're going to get totally immersed. For those who have been baptized into Christ, into the body of Christ, that was your salvation, have now put on Christ. We should walk differently when we're finished being baptized. It signifies this is the next step in our progression of walking with Him. Amen? Love the baptism. Finally, the last place Nehemiah is going to visit, the king's pool. You can go back, yeah, that one slide. There we go. The king's pool. Everyone say the king's pool. Again, most people feel like the king's pool is the pool of Siloam. They're one and the same, the king's pool. And this is the place. Oh, and when you realize that, Siloam, the pool Siloam means sent. Siloam means sent. And how many of you know the whole reason why we receive the Holy Spirit is to be sent? The king's pool. This is where kings were empowered. This is where kings were given authority to do what they were called to do. This is where they were empowered and given authority, the king's pool. And how many of you know for us, we have the exact same thing waiting for us at the king's pool to be empowered and given authority through the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, there's two places I could have went, but I chose Luke for this one. Jesus is going to try to preface this again. He understands. He knows. Listen, in the future, there's going to be great controversy over the Holy Spirit. Great controversy. And you're thinking, how can there be controversy over the third person of the Trinity? How can there be controversy over the third person of the Trinity? I don't understand, but there is great controversy. So here's what Jesus is going to do to make sure nobody gets confused. Luke chapter 11. So I say to you, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it'll be opened to you. For whoever asks, receives. And whoever seeks, will find. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. And if a son asks for bread, is there any father among you who will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Will he give him what? A serpent? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Can it be any clearer, church, what Jesus is saying? Now, so many people, they read this scripture and they think about natural scorpions and natural serpents. Hello? Turn back one page in your Bible. Luke chapter 10. We made reference to this last week. The 70 returned with The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And behold, I give you the authority. Again, what does the king's pool represent? Authority and power. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. There it is. He just a few sentences earlier was talking about demons, scorpions, and serpents. And now a chapter later, he's going to say, listen, you ask for the Holy Spirit. He's not going to give you a demon. Ask for the Holy Spirit. He's not going to give you a demon. And yet my wife will tell you, she said, David, in the church I was growing up in, that's exactly what they told us. That if you ask for the Holy Spirit, you're going to get a demon. Come on. I'm thinking, can it be any clearer in your Bible what he is saying? Now, here's the problem. This thing of baptism in the Holy Spirit has been taught incorrectly. It has been abused. And it's made fun of. It's made as a show. And truly, when it comes down to it, they tied the baptism of the Holy Spirit with a big rope many times so that it's totally inseparable. That if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And you got it, and you got it, and you got it. I'm sorry, you don't have it. And why? Because, yes, many times in the Bible, it talks about that when they received the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in tongues. As a matter of fact, let's close with this. Acts chapter 10. Peter's going to the Cornelius' house. And they're so hungry. They just want God. I want everything you have. That's what Cornelius and his family are saying. Whatever there is out there, we want it. So Peter goes over to his house. And he starts preaching and trying to tell them the story. And he's got a complete outline, John. 3 points in a poem. His outline is ready to go. He hasn't got to point number 3 yet. And the scripture says that while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, the Jews, who were with Peter, were astonished. Pick your mouth up off the floor. It's okay. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit, everyone say the gift. And there it is right there. There's the key. The gift of the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured. That's that wine. The new wine has not been poured out upon the Gentiles. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Wow. It's a gift. And whoever wants to open the gift of the Holy Spirit and receive it, you can open it. And if you don't want to, don't. I would encourage you, open the gift. You will not be disappointed. And listen, don't get so, again, the Holy Spirit was not stressed me in my life growing up. Speaking in tongues was stressed, but not the Holy Spirit. This is having a deeper relationship. This is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is being immersed in the Holy Spirit. Your prayer language, it'll come. If you want it to come, it'll come. If you don't want it to come, it won't come. You choose. Not like you're going to be walking down Brookshire and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's going to fall on you and next thing you know, you'll be ripping in tongues down aisle 3 and they're like, crazy person on aisle 3. No, because Paul said, listen, if we're in an assembly like this and there's unbelievers here, they will think you are wacko. Don't do it around unbelievers. Don't do it. And because of these things and because of the teaching and all this, all of a sudden now everyone, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, there's so many folks today who just get nervous. They get nervous. I don't want anyone to ever be nervous about the Holy Spirit when they come to this church. I want them to receive the fullness. I want them to drink of the Holy Spirit and drink of that cup and know that it's a good thing. That the Heavenly Father is offering. Whoever, what was Jesus says? Can we put, I didn't write that scripture down, did I? That's all right. Whoever, Jesus said, whoever asks, everyone say asks, will receive the Holy Spirit. Man, Jesus says, I want you asking. I want you to ask to receive the fullness. Now, we had to have the, obviously, we've already got a portion of the Holy Spirit. We couldn't get saved without that. We read that earlier, that it was the Holy Spirit who baptized us into the body of Christ. But now, we're talking about the next thing. And so here we have Nehemiah, the Holy Spirit, the picture of the Holy Spirit. And at night, when no one else thinks anything's going on, he visits the refuse gate. He He rid the fountain gate, and then he goes to the king's pool. Three baptisms that are available for us to walk in, to grow in, to be excited about. Amen. Stand with me this morning.